Genesis chapter 3, Eve was created by a special act of God for a special purpose. Genesis 3:20. And therefore, and very important in the plan and the program of God. Genesis 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And let us pray. Father, thank you for the privilege tonight to open your precious book. We pray that as we are attentive to your word, that you will bless us. May your Holy Spirit's presence be here tonight. Thank you for your blessings throughout this day and throughout the week. And I pray that you would enable us to be a blessing this week to those around us. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you name some Bible women tonight that come to your mind right off the bat?
Deborah.
Esther. Ruth.
Rebecca.
Mary. Yeah. Abigail. Who else?
Mary.
Phoebe.
Sarai.
Phoebe. Now there's a name for you, right?
Lydia.
All right. Lydia.
Sarai.
Okay.
Lois and Eunice.
All right. And of course, Mary, right? The mother of Jesus and others. And in any event, how about in history? Famous women in history. I think of Margaret Thatcher. I think Hillary Clinton is actually famous in history. There are people that like her. There are people that liked Margaret Thatcher. I think of Christy Whitman. Can you think of other women in history?
Mother Teresa.
Princess Diana. Susan B. Anthony. Yeah.
Harriet Tubman.
Very good. And what did she do, gentlemen?
She helped the slaves escape.
Right. Good. You're up on your history tonight. All right. All right. Martha Stewart. Somebody say Martha Stewart. She's famous. She's an American icon. Let's face it. People are going to remember her name for a long time, as long as Kmart stays open. Amen. But they all have unique qualities that some people like in them. But the study of the creation of Eve and the life of Eve is important because it opens up many other areas of study. For example, in studying about Eve, we learn about creation. We learn about Satan and temptation and sin and redemption. We also learn about husband-wife relationships and family living. And these are all prominent in tonight's study as we look at Genesis. And first of all, let's look at Eve and creation. And I'd like you to look at Genesis chapter 2 and verses 21 through 25, please. Genesis chapter 2, 21 through 25. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. It's nice when God puts you to sleep, amen? And he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. Can you imagine what Adam must have been thinking when he first saw God's creation? He had just named all the animals. Amen? I mean all of them. You talk about animals. Elephants and giraffes. And you name the animal. He came up with the name. And now he's waiting for what God has in store for him. And he wakes up from his little nap. He went under. I mean, God gave him surgery without, you know, chemicals. He went into a deep sleep. God operated on him, took out a part of the rib, made a woman, and presented her before Adam. What do you think his first words were? Hubba hubba? I know he was pleased. Amen? Yes, he was. And Adam said, "There is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man." Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. God's wisdom tells us it is not good for a man to be alone. In all that God had done in creation, the Bible says that God saw what he did and said it was good. Let's look at a few places in Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 10. God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw that it was good. You say, well, where did we get the name earth from? Well, the Bible tells us that's God's name. Amen. Goes all the way back to God in creation. God called it earth. In chapter 1 and verse 12, look at verse 12, please. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Verse number 18. And to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness, and God saw that it was good. Verse 21. And God created great whales, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly, after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind, and God saw that it was good. Everything that God makes is good. Amen? In verse number 25, and God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And boy, you just keep going on. And look at verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. 6 days God made everything that there is. And along the way, he stopped to admire what he had made because it was very good. And so to help man, God decided to create one to be with him. And the method of creation was revealing of many truths about God. We read about God placing Adam into a deep sleep. And he removed a bone from his body to create a helper for Adam. That would be bone of his bones. And yet he performed this operation without any pain at all unto Adam. This union was to be so strong that their children, when they left and married, would become one flesh also. From this point, Eve and her descendants were to be loved, protected, and provided for by their husbands. And so we look at Eve in creation and what God has done. And then we notice something else about Eve. Eve is taught by Adam everything that he knows. She comes to Adam after he's already been created, and after he's already been put in charge over everything on the earth. So everything that he knows, he's teaching Eve. He has to teach Eve what the name of every animal is. He has to teach Eve everything he knows about God's decrees, what's acceptable. And that one thing that's not acceptable, which, by the way, he could have spent a little more time on. Amen? But Adam then became a teacher to Eve to convey all that he knew about God and God's blessings and what God prohibited. And Adam was the teacher about everything. The birds, the fish, the vegetation, their use, their function. She would need to be taught about the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's the tree that caused so much disruption in this world ever since that experience. And what the consequences would be in violating the decree of God, it would bring sin and death into the world. And you know, tonight the Christian has three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Amen? Isn't that right? The way of the world, our own self, the flesh that we're born with, our sin nature that fights us every day. Paul said we're to die to self be filled with the Spirit, and the devil himself and his dominions. And of course, the devil's very strong. We know that because angels are weaker than Satan. And the angel of the Lord called on the Lord in rebuking Satan in the Old Testament over disputing of the body of Moses, we're told. But Adam only had one enemy at this point, and that was the devil. And that was enough. Their minds were not clouded yet by sin. They had never witnessed the death before, and yet they knew that being separated from God would be a terrible thing. They knew that their responsibilities at this point were very awesome. And ever since Adam, it's been the responsibility of all men to be teachers of the decrees of God. And Adam's failure is obvious tonight, just as failures today of other heads of households are very evident as well. We as men, we're to take our place as the spiritual leaders of the home. We're supposed to teach our wives and our children the things of God. And I'd like you to look at Genesis chapter 3 in verses 1 through 7. We see even the temptation, how Satan appears to her and speaks to her and gets her to disobey God's decree. In Genesis chapter 3, in verses 1 through 7, Satan comes and appears through a serpent. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the tree of the garden." And the woman said unto the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden." You can see how this is going to go. Verse 3. "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Well, God didn't say anything about touching it, did he? So she is relying on some false memory here that her husband maybe didn't finish that lesson. I don't know. But notice verse 4, "And the serpent said unto her, unto the woman, you shall not surely die." It's questioning God's word. "For God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were open. They knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made aprons." And so we're not really given all the great details that led to this temptation, but we're kind of thrown into this arena by hearing what the serpent said. And the Bible just says he was more subtle than any of the animals. You know, as I read this, I think a question comes to my mind. At this time, did animals all talk? I'm curious about it. I really am. I mean, even long before Walt Disney thought about the idea, was it a reality in the Garden of Eden? I'm not shown here that she's surprised that this snake is talking to her. Amen? It's very possible. Don't call me a heretic. I'm not saying that I really believe this above all else, but I think it's probably possible that animals talked to Adam and everybody got along in harmony. Amen. I would love to hear animals talk. I know they kind of communicate in their own way now with each other, but did animals talk before the fall? I don't know. We're not told. We're not going to speculate, all right? But the serpent attacked the mind of Eve by suggesting that God was keeping something from her, shortchanging them, withholding something good from them. Then he launches a second attack. This occurs calling the Word of God into question and denying the results of the Word of God. He's saying to her, "You won't surely die. It's not going to happen." So now Satan launches a full-scale attack with his main offensive weapons, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. And we see that he does this in verse number 6 of chapter 3. She's looking at that tree now that they're talking about it. And she notices it's good. Well, of course it's good. Everything God makes is good. Amen. And it was pleasant to the eyes. I mean, the more she looked at it, the better it looked. And she's observing it, observing the fruit, the forbidden fruit. And I've noticed about children, young children, sometimes you'll offer both of them maybe an item. Maybe there's three children, you offer them items, and each one is waiting to see what the first one wants. And when they find out what the first one wants, all of a sudden the second one wants what the first one wants. And the third one wants what the first one wants. It doesn't matter what color it is. They're just waiting. And that's human nature, I guess. And I guess as big people, it can happen to us too. But in any event, God made this tree. She's probably thinking for a reason. It's got fruit. It's supposed to be eaten. It looks good. What's wrong by using it? And this is the reasoning that accompanies sin. It's here. And it must be usable. God must have made it for a reason. So we see the lust of the flesh. We also see the lust of the eyes. She liked looking at it. It was pleasant to her eyes. And that's all she could think about. Probably before she took it, she probably kept staring at it. Every chance she had, walking by it, keep looking at it. And finally, she just gave in. You know, crimes are often done after much contemplation. Oh, there are folks that just randomly do wrong things on opportunity, but a lot of things are done by planning. And sin occurs in the heart first, before it's acted upon many times. We also see the pride of life. Notice verse number 7. And the eyes of them were opened. And she sincerely thought that the fruit would make her wise. Perhaps she thought she'd be liberated. She wouldn't have to be taught by Adam anymore. Maybe she just despised that. I don't know. She wouldn't have to be taught, you know, the names of the animals or whatever. She thought that perhaps she could rise above all restraints placed on her by God. She could break the bonds and cast them aside, maybe. But Satan must have convinced her that she needed this forbidden fruit to be complete, to become a complete person. And of course, this tragic story is one that we could explain as the she saw, she took, and she gave, and she shared. And the consequences of that day can never be measured. I mean, a penalty came to all women and all human beings because of that, and that penalty goes right on to the resurrection day. And Eve's usurping authority over the Word of God, women now are placed in subjection to men according to the Bible. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, please. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Let me get there myself. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. You find it? Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed than Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Adam wasn't deceived. He willfully disobeyed. He knew the consequences. He didn't want to be separated from his wife. But she was tricked. She was deceived. And verse 15, notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. And so we see the consequences on that fateful day as they are eating the forbidden fruit together. And we see Eve in sorrow now. In Genesis chapter 3, She begins a life of sorrow. Verse number 8. And they heard the word of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. They had never hid themselves before. They had never wanted to be away from God before. But now we see the immediate effect of sin. And we see the immediate effect is Eve has an appointment with God. God calls upon her and asks her questions. And she hears from his mouth, all of her days will be filled with sorrow. And they are then expelled from the garden in sorrow. And she bears children in sorrow. She gave birth to Cain in sorrow. She gave birth to Abel in sorrow. And we know the story of Cain and Abel and how that they experienced death firsthand as one brother slew the other one. And sorrow with each child after that in childbearing. We don't know how long Eve lived. We know that Adam lived 930 years. But her life was punctuated by many times of sorrow. You know, everyone needs Jesus, amen?
Amen.
And mothers need Jesus, and women, of course, need Jesus. In the chapter 5 of Genesis and verses 4 and 5, our Bible says, in the days of Adam, after he begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters, and all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. We are told in Genesis 3 that in redemption, God promises Eve redemption. In the midst of all this judgment and sorrow, God makes a beautiful promise to Eve in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. And he says to her, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." And unto the woman he said, "I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband. He shall rule over thee." In the middle of all this judgment, God promises a redeemer. He says that the seed of the woman would bruise the head of Satan in the future. A promise of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ever since then, people expected a redeemer to be born. And the death of the Redeemer was foretold later as God now kills an animal and makes coats of skin to cover Adam and Eve. That promise was reaffirmed later with every passing generation until the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah told us that the Redeemer would come from a virgin. And I'd like you to look at Galatians chapter 4, please, tonight. Galatians chapter 4 in the New Testament. As the fulfillment has already taken place of that Redeemer. Galatians chapter 4 and verses 4 and 5. "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." You know, as I think of this study of Eve tonight, we're reminded that God is no respecter of persons. That the first persons that sinned had to be redeemed. And ever since then, every human being that is born into this world has to be redeemed. Because we're born into a world of sin. We're born into a world of darkness. Spiritual darkness. It's amazing, you know, after you become a Christian, you realize just how dark the world is spiritually. That everyone's going their own way, isn't that right? Everybody's living for themselves. And those that know the Lord are little lights in this world. What a difference one candle can make in a room, amen? What a difference one Christian can make at work, or one Christian can make in school, or one Christian can make in the community. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm going to let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine till Jesus comes. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let's let it shine this week. Amen. And it's not good for a man to be alone. Amen. Women have a special place in the program and the plan of God. Young people, you should be praying right now for your future mate, whoever it is, that God will reveal them to you. Amen. Amen. Don't wait till you're 20 or 30 years old to start praying. Pray now as a teenager. So it'll be a special moment when it happens. Maybe the first time you see them, you'll know. Amen. Amen. My daughter Lori, she spotted Dave Potberg the first time we came to this church. The choir was singing, and Dave was way in the back. He's tall. And after church, I said, Lori, did you notice a young man I noticed in the choir is single? And I was thinking of Rob Miller. And she says, yeah, I saw the guy. I says, well, what do you think of him? He's got blonde hair. She says, no, he doesn't have blonde hair. He's got brown hair, black hair. I says, well, when then we got into the particulars. But, you know, if you start praying as a young person about your future, it helps the future to be more revealing to you. Amen? And so, in any event, you don't have to be a young person to pray about the future. Amen? Amen? Okay. Let's dismiss in prayer. Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you for the women in our life that you have placed in our life throughout our life. Thank you for our mothers, our sisters, our grandmothers, all the teachers that we've had at school and Sunday school, ladies in our society that have made a difference. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your special gift of women. Bless the women in our life today and in our church especially. May our mothers feel honored this coming next Sunday in a special way as only you can bless them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. How about we sing a hymn on our way out tonight? John, you want to lead us in a hymn? Let's all stand together.